Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome, Marks and Reese. Johnny Marks and Ike Reese on a beautiful, beautiful afternoon in the Delaware Valley. I'm John. He's Ike. What's up, Ike?
Johnny Marks. Holla at your boy.
Is this the first non-Wednesday? Or is it this is the second one?
Every Wednesday?
No, it's just Wednesday. Sure.
Listen, listen, if you guys want to keep Wednesdays, just say it.
I don't
just
want to.
Just say it and we can keep it.
But it's just...
just say you want to keep it and then I'll keep it.
No.
You can't say we don't want to keep it and bring it up every Wednesday.
So I'm just... I didn't know if this was the first or the second without it because it's just, you know, it's part of the routine. Part of the routine. I almost didn't want to say beautiful Wednesday because of the whole Wednesday thing, but it is a beautiful Wednesday.
Did you see the Eagles tweet out Wednesday today?
I did.
No, they didn't. They did not tweet that out.
Let's see what they tweet out tomorrow if there's a Hurts Day tomorrow. All right, so listen, we know that there's a big basketball game tonight with the Sixers and the Jazz. We will get into that. We have a ton to talk about today on the show. Let's start here though, because you know we focus on the draft and Howie Roseman and Jalen Hurts, are they going to take another quarterback? What are they going to do? But we haven't spoken a lot about Nick Sirianni, Ike. You know, and I think part of the reason is we don't really have a lot to go on with what we know of Sirianni outside of his original introductory press conference, which we all weren't impressed by in everything else. And then he spoke with Dave Spadaro and after that for the Eagles website. But you know, like, how are Eagles fans feeling right now regarding their new head coach? And I'll say this, right, because I think you're either excited for a new coach and you're excited for, you know, a new regime, a new play caller, a new offensive mindset. Is he going to run the football? Is it going to be like Doug where he's throwing? Like, that in itself is exciting. This is all new. This entire staff is new. Mm-hmm. Right, the defensive coordinator's new. The offensive coordinator's brand new. They have a quarterback's coach they brought in that it actually makes sense. He's familiar with Jalen Hurts. He's had a lifelong relationship with him. He's an up-and-coming young coach moving from Florida up to here. So I really like the staff he put together. I mean, I don't know. Am I the only one that's excited for the start of Nick Sirianni to see what he can do? I'm more excited than anything else. That's for sure.
Listen, I was listening to the guys on the way in, and boy, I tell you, I hadn't heard that press conference in a while, man. And just having some of those quotes played back, and yeah, it certainly didn't instill confidence in me. I don't know if it's because John Ritchie was just so hard on Nick Sirianni and reevaluating that press conference and his first impression on the Philadelphia sports.
Yeah, it wasn't a great first impression.
Fans, yeah, it was not a very good one. And listen, he did a little better with Angelo a few days later, but even then, it wasn't. Here's what I'll tell you. Because I want to be fair to Nick Sirianni, because I do realize this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for him. You certainly want to be excited for him. He's getting this opportunity. But this isn't that type of sports fan base where we're going to sit back and just pat you on the back and say, man, yeah, you've made it to the NFL. You know, when I hear those cuts talking about how happy he is to be a part of a team, it's almost like he's surprised he's the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, that doesn't necessarily instill confidence in me as a alumnus and a fan of the team. It just doesn't.
Mm.
just doesn't. It makes me wonder, man, is he the right guy for the job? So I would say right now for me, I'm more concerned than I am excited. Right? I'm more hoping that he's the guy, or they had better recognize sooner rather than later if he's not the guy. In other words, we don't have 3 years to wait around trying to figure out if Nick Sirianni is the guy.
Not the longest leash in the world.
No, yeah. It needs to show itself very fast, if not in that first year. I certainly want to see things in the first year that I would find encouraging. And in the second year, listen, we gave Doug a hard time. I'm not saying Nick needs to go out and win the Super Bowl in his second year, but if Kevin Stefanski can do what he did in Cleveland in his first year, right? Like, coaches can go in and have an impact. If you're well-organized and if you play complementary football and you can have a structure within your building that's conducive to winning and everybody been on the same page, like, you can turn an NFL locker room and team around in relatively short order. It doesn't have to take 3, 4, 5 years. This isn't college football where you need to be like, let me get my recruiting class in here and let these guys start playing. No, this is not college football. You can do it in the NFL. Brian Flores didn't take long to go down there and clean up Adam Gase's mess.
Made an impact, yep.
In his first year, we saw it. In his second year, they continue to show it as a football team. So it doesn't take forever for you to do it. And so me right now, I'm a little more concerned. I hope he's the guy. A little more concerned that he may not be the guy more than, yeah, we got the right guy.
So to your point about Doug, right? Because I think I remember most people.
And by the way, with Doug, that was blind faith for me. Yeah, I played with him 4 years. So I wanted to see him do well.
But after his first year, I know that people still gave him a hard time. But the one thing I remember saying after the first year was that he was very good with timeouts. Like, he was good with clock management and things like that. Like, the things that you don't know how a coach is going to be, because that's something that Andy struggled with for a while, Doug actually was very good with. And I think for the most part, over his career here in Philadelphia, like, you never really worried about running out of timeouts or, like, Doug was pretty good with that stuff, right?
Although we did run out of two-point plays last year.
Well, I mean, listen, last year Doug struggled with a lot of things.
Ooh, boy.
A lot of things. But what I noticed about Doug right away was like, all right, like, we got some things to work with here. Mm-hmm. 2017, they obviously won a Super Bowl. You know, Nick Sirianni, I am not going to go just based on what we heard at the press conference, and we can play that. There's that one cut that's out there that is played on, you know, the videos on Twitter where he's trying to explain what they're going to do, and he gets caught in his words, and he's not making any sense.
Is that the system?
The system. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's cringeworthy. Now I kind of laugh at it because it's so bad.
Well, the one for me was the whole happy to be a part of a team. That's the one that got me.
Like, his first day of school?
Yeah, that's the one where I was like, hold on, man.
Yeah, and Jack's like, that's a high school coach. That's not an NFL coach. I think you're fair to have the reaction after that of being like, well, you know, what the hell was that? Like, mm-hmm. Because normally you get a head coach, and I don't care if he's experienced or he's not. Nick Sirianni's talked to the media enough to where he should be able to handle a press conference. Like, he was a deer in the headlights, and that was bad. That was poor. I hope it's not going to be like that when he's with the team and everything else. I think he's going to get
and
a little bit better.
That's what matters the most.
Right.
Is how he relates and communicates with his players, and do they respond to him? Because everybody isn't going to be great in the press conference. And we know Doug, even the Super Bowl year, was not great in his press conferences. For 5 years, he was not great.
Not a strength of him. But like you said, I think he's likable. Mm-hmm. I think the guys will like him. And then from there, it's, does he know football? Can he call plays?
Right.
Will he run the ball? Will he realize, hey, this is Jalen Hurts. I'm not going to treat him like he's a quarterback that should be dropping back 50 times a game. And he's not going to be like Doug, where Carson Wentz is struggling, the offensive line can't protect, you just keep him in the pocket. Like, Nick Sirianni should be able to keep it simple, stupid. Yeah, you have a young quarterback that has great athleticism that needs a little bit of work at throwing the football. You have Miles Sanders. Hopefully they bring in another running back. I think first year he keeps it simple, and I'm excited to see a guy that's going to come in. And he's going to run the ball. That's what they did in Indianapolis.
But you know what, though? You know what has me concerned is the timing right to pair this coaching staff with this roster? And here's what I mean by that. You normally want to have either a seasoned coaching staff with a young roster, or you want to give a young coaching staff, a young head coach, a veteran quarterback, a veteran roster. I think back, now it doesn't necessarily work this way in every example, but I just think back to some. John Harbaugh, when he became the head coach of Baltimore, he had a veteran roster that could help him, right? You got Ray Lewis, you got T. Suggs, you got Ed Reed. Like, that's going to help him. As long as he comes in and does his part, he has a locker room that's going to police itself, and you have veteran guys there that know how to work hard and come in and do their thing. With Doug, he didn't truly have success until he had a veteran roster, right? You had older players.
Yeah.
His second year, they were the second oldest team in the league.
Yep.
You had veteran players. I think about Green Bay. Put Matt LaFleur up there. But you got Aaron Rodgers. That helps you. You don't have a young coach and a young quarterback. Because now they both got to grow at the same time.
Yep.
I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just saying it makes it harder to work. You want to have something that complements each other. Because obviously those are the two most important positions, head coach and quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Their play and coaching is going to be scrutinized more than anybody else's.
Yep.
So you want a young quarterback to at least have a veteran head coach that he can lean on.
Yeah.
That he can lean on. Or a guy that's been coaching for a long time.
A veteran staff, which they don't.
Yes.
Have a lot of veteran guys in there. A very young staff. 215-592-9494. Let's open up the phone lines. Let's talk some Nick Sirianni today. So, more worried, more excited for Nick Sirianni. Well, like after the initial press conference, right? And then he was on with D'Angelo. We really haven't spoken a lot about Nick Sirianni. Where are we with Nick Sirianni? We're going to talk some of him today. 215-592-9494.
I saw another mock draft, too.
Mock drafts?
Well, ooh, boy.
What quarterback are the Eagles taking at six? Well, that's coming up. More mock drafts today.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it'll be a little different this time around.
Yeah. Marks and Reese, we open the phone lines coming up right after this. Don't go anywhere. Marks and Reese, we are back. And the dots, I'm starting to connect the dots here, Ike, because, and we'll get to the phones here and back on Nick Sirianni. But Brandon Graham spoke yesterday about wanting to retire as an Eagle and, you know, he's going to make his home here. And after his playing days, he's going to stay here. We know he just recently bought a house and he's settling down here. And then D. Gunn, just a couple minutes ago on Twitter, reports that the Eagles and Brandon Graham are working on restructuring his contract, which makes a lot of sense. Brandon's making a lot of money this year. It's a big cap hit. It's the final year of a contract. So if the Eagles are valuing Brandon being Mr. Eagle and him being a very important veteran part of this new team, then it would make sense for them to give him a couple additional years, spread that money out, and maybe he retires as an Eagle.
Yeah, I don't see why he shouldn't retire as an Eagle. For what the Eagles are trying to do moving forward, trying to reestablish a culture, trying to get these guys to buy into being Eagles, and instead of building a team through free agency, you're building it through the draft. Well, with the exception of Brandon Brooks, when I talk about and Darius Slay, when I talk about guys they should keep around here, those are guys that they've drafted. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, guys that have gone through tough times here. And Brandon, I always view as Mr. Eagle. He's the longest tenured Eagle now that Jason Peters should have had his key card revoked or at least had it deactivated right now. So, Brandon, that would make Brandon the longest tenured Eagle. And when you talk about a Philadelphia Eagle, when you talk about somebody who is sort of a mirror image of what this city is about, underdog, yeah, he may have come in as a first-round draft pick, but he's gone through adversity and helped lead us to a Super Bowl championship. So
he's earned his place in the city,
man,
for sure.
Damn right. And so
yeah,
he's one of those guys that I would want on my team. Like, it's certain guys you want in your locker room, you want representing your team. That dude's going to give you maximum effort. He's going to always be a glue guy, even in tough times. That's the one thing I appreciated about Brandon. You talk to Brandon every Monday, man.
Yep.
And Brandon tries to be as honest as he can be, but he also wants to be optimistic about the team and always trying to pump positive energy into the atmosphere, even if we don't buy it or don't want to hear it. He isn't going to let that change him and what he's doing.
Right.
And those are the type of guys that if I'm an Eagles fan, even when I'm angry, that dude seems to be positive, and he knows when to push the angry button and be upset.
Yep.
But the dude gets it, and that's a guy I would want to wear the midnight green.
And he takes bad seasons personally.
Yes.
Having worked with him now for, I don't know, 4 or 5 seasons. He does, and it hurts him because,
he cares.
He cares. He's been here. He knows what this town is like.
He's seen the good and the bad.
He's seen the really bad. He's seen the really good. And
he's the only one that's had, well, him and Fletcher, right? Well, him, Fletcher, and Jason have had Andy, Chip, Doug
and Sirianni.
And Sirianni.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, he has the, I mean, especially in football, it's easy if you're in one of the other sports to play deep into your 30s. In the NFL, it doesn't necessarily work that way.
No. It'd be good
to see Brandon here for another couple years. Even with me that wants the Sam Hinkie type rebuild and everything like that, I value what Brandon Graham brings to this organization for sure. Now, he was set to make about $18 million. This year. What was his cap number? I think his salary's 13, and his cap number was 17.9.
Oh, yeah, we got to get that down.
So, by the way, that's the
only— They really were hopped up on the Super Bowl, weren't they?
Yes. That's the other reason that they were—
Yes.
They're looking to restructure the contract.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so if they're able to, like, maybe, I don't know, cut that in half and then spread that in the future years because—
Give him 2 more years on there.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't play the 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, by next year, the following year after that, I mean, we're talking about probably more of a rotational player at that point. He's always going to give a maximum effort. He's always good. Motor's always going to be 100%.
I think BG knows he has this year and
a couple of years,
maybe one more left in him.
2022, maybe after that. But yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's 14 years, man. Like,
that's
a long damn time, dude. Yeah, that's 14 years, man.
Wow.
A long time.
All right,
we're kicking the can down the road. That's all right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, Jack. They do have to get under the salary cap. They don't have a choice about doing that. So
and his money is already going
to
be there.
Right.
It's either going to be accelerated or you try to spread it out.
Right. Exactly. So that the one thing they could have done was cut him after June 1st and then broke up the dead money over the course of 2 years. But I mean, you're really going to do that with a BG?
No.
I mean, he's still productive too. We know that he had a great first half last year.
He made the greatest play in the history of the organization.
Yeah, that's good enough for me.
The Philly special?
No. No. The fumble.
The fumble.
He made the biggest play.
Yes, he did.
3 years ago.
I'm never forgetting that.
Yes, he did.
I don't care if it was 3 years ago.
All right, so hopefully Mad Mike doesn't call in today to rip Brandon Graham because I'm not in the mood for it. All right, well, maybe we'll allow it. All right, Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. When you shop for the diamond engagement ring of her dreams, buy from the home team at Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville. Shop local and their website to check out and get all the information is marks-jewelers.com. All right, are you more with Nick Sirianni, excited or concerned? Jack, excited or concerned with Nick Sirianni?
Oh, listen, I already think it's over. I mean, he's got maybe 2 years here. I think by January 2023, we're looking for a new head coach. Like, I understand you want to be excited, but I feel like it's more talking yourself into this guy. I just think there's absolutely no shot he's going to be a good head coach in this league. Like, every time I hear him talk, I think he's a high school coach, and I can't help but think that guys in that locker room, especially guys like we just talked about, BG, Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson, these guys have been here with Doug. They're going to see this guy, and I just think they're going to be sitting there rolling their eyes.
They were there with Doug, though.
I know, but Doug at least played the game, and Doug was a backup quarterback. He's under great coaches. Like, he played at a high level. He played in the NFL, you know, and he was a relatable guy. Like, Nick Sirianni seems like a nice guy. I don't know how relatable Nick Sirianni is. Like, he sounds like a guy that no one's going to be like, oh, I'm going to run through a wall for that guy. He seems like a good guy that was a good coordinator that should not be a head coach in the NFL.
Mm. Well, I think what you're doing is that you are basing your opinion off of one or two public speaking appearances, whether it's with Angelo, Dave Spadaro, or his introductory press conference, right? Like, I don't disagree with you.
He did the same thing in all of them. Like, all of them. I never felt better each time about Nick Sirianni.
There wasn't a lot of substance in anything that he said, right? But that doesn't mean that once these guys show up that he doesn't know what he's doing, that he can't call plays, right? Like, that he can't say, okay, I'm going to let my coaches, I'm going to hire a good staff, and I'm going to let these guys do their job, right? Like, one of the biggest problems with Doug was, look at his staff at the end. He didn't have good coaches around them. Right, and then his idea coming back was to just keep these bad coaches. 215-592-9494. Excited or concerned with Nick Sirianni? Ike, you would say you're a little concerned.
Yes. Mike was off. Sorry about that.
Let's go to Joe in Trenton. Yeah. Joe, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing
this afternoon? What's up,
Joe? What's up, Joe?
I am a little optimistic, but I'm also a little excited because I think it's going to be a fresh voice. And with the veterans, like you said, was talking about with BG, Kelsey, Fletcher, with that mixture with these young guys, this young coaching staff, if they can come together early, OTAs, mini camp and all that stuff, and really put together a good culture, I mean, 7 or 6 games, you optimistic are like, okay, the future does look okay. And Ike, you said it yesterday, if Rager can come out with maybe 1,000 yards, 900 yards or something, maybe a breakout year, even maybe – JJ may look like something under this regime, you know? Okay. Maybe Miles looks like something.
Yeah! So
you are a little optimistic about something. And I got to throw this in here.
Mm.
Jack might have convinced me about that 100-point game.
Jack!
Oh, no. Huh? Joe!
That's right.
To that yesterday, I don't know. Jack got me convinced because we live in an era now where everything that you do is publicized, is on notice, is documented. I don't know. I'm tossed between those two things, man.
It was almost 60 years ago. There's no video.
Are you telling me Jack has changed somebody's mind out there with this nonsense?
Listen, man, it's very convincing. It's like he did his own little investigation, and it's like nobody has proven him wrong. I know Howard came on his show last night.
Hold on. What's convincing about it?
His theory.
No, but what's convincing? All he's saying is there's no evidence. Like, how do I know? Right?
Listen.
Yes.
Think about this. What kind of common sense says, okay, if I can score 102 points, why won't I score 102? I just want to stop at 100.
Yes.
If Kobe could have went for 90, you think he would have just stopped at 82 or 84? No, he would have kept going if they would have let him go.
Yeah.
That's what kind of makes you think about that. Like, I'm gonna just stop at 100. 100 sounds better. No, 102.
Hey, Joe, it's funny because when he said that yesterday, I thought of Kobe initially. When I
Thank
said,
you,
well, that would have been like Kobe missing one of those free throws just to score 80 instead of 81.
Right.
So when he said that they didn't want to score 102, they wanted to score 100.
He stood at half court, and he said he stood at half court because he didn't want to score another bucket.
Right.
100 sounds better than 102.
Yeah, sure.
And he's right. All right, but see, like, Jack, here.
Well, 80 sounds better than 81.
It does. Like, I think Kobe was wired a little differently than Will.
Well, first off, Kobe was a winner.
Man.
All right, stop. Down there again.
So, one thing on this.
Yes.
The public address announcer, Dave Zinkoff, was counting down the points in the game.
But he started at 80.
Oh, man.
I'm with you, John. I'm just saying, he did bring up that. That's one little point that it did kind of make you think.
What about they didn't find the radio broadcast until
1988? That's true. An engineer recorded over it.
There was only one guy that recorded it. It was some
dude.
College kid in Amherst.
Yeah, some dude recorded it.
Yeah.
So now we got a doctor. They doctored the
Yeah, no, it's literally like that's how big of a deal it wasn't, because you record over the tape after a certain amount of time if you're at a radio station, because right. You're not going to keep buying tape and tape and tape. People didn't realize it was a big deal.
And so they didn't realize him scoring 100 points was a big deal.
Ike, it was on page 14 of the sports section. It wasn't even front page news that he scored 100. The NBA wasn't a big deal.
Does it pass your smell test?
I'm just telling you, man. Get
Ike is over on the dark side now.
No, I'm just saying, man. Just makes you think. I believe he scored 100.
All right, but you're just saying that. I don't even believe you now. Jesus, what have we done here? This is a sports show in Philadelphia, Jack.
Well, because it's today's society where these young Thundercats, they want to question everything.
It's the millennial way of thinking. Why? There's no video on Twitter. I can't see it. There's no evidence, right?
Well, I did that with the dinosaurs one day.
Yeah. Ike and his dinosaur theory. All right, but so
I was with Kyrie for about a month or two there. Yeah,
were you? And then you slapped yourself in the face, threw some cold water on
or
your face,
or somebody else slapped me in the face.
All right.
Or something.
Well, good. So here's where I can see most people being with Nick Sirianni, which is I don't know because I haven't seen anything. I don't know. I am saying I am excited because I am I looking for reasons to be excited? I'm not looking for reasons to be concerned. I am looking for reasons to be excited, but I can do that because you have a quarterback who is going to be maybe the guy, and they have hired a great staff around Nick Sirianni.
Great staff?
Yeah. Huh? So Jonathan Gannon was the hot coordinator candidate this year. Like, he was the one guy that was going from position coach to being a defensive coordinator. The Rams were interested in him to be their defensive coordinator. He went with Sirianni to Philadelphia, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Shane Steichen, who at least has experience as an offensive coordinator and a play caller in San Diego. And then, I really think that the Brian Johnson, the quarterback's coach, that's a smart hire. You're bringing in a guy that has a relationship with the young quarterback, somebody that he trusts, right? So if you're going to have a bad cop, Brian Johnson could be a guy that's a good cop, right? Like, it makes a lot of sense what they've done, as opposed to what Doug did with his coaching staff before, which really didn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, he wasn't the one bringing those guys in.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
like,
Howie was helping him.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they didn't trust him enough to bring guys in.
Are you talking about his original staff?
So at least with Sirianni, right? Like, Doug didn't have the experience around the league, right? Like, Doug, I mean, not that saying Sirianni's been a coach in the league for 30 years, but he's been an offensive assistant / coordinator / quarterbacks coach for over a decade. So he actually has relationships with working with guys in Indianapolis, in Kansas City, in San Diego with the Chargers, and that's what you're seeing with the staff right now is that, like, he's got guys that when he said, I get a job, these are the guys I'm going to bring in.
Well, the other thing that hurt Doug leaving Kansas City is that Andy wasn't allowing him to take any of his staff.
Right.
Like,
so he didn't know anybody else.
Yeah, so, you know, Andy basically helped him get the job here. He's not going to allow him to take guys off of his staff to come here. So Doug didn't have a staff to put together, and they hired Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz basically put his own staff together on the defensive side of things, probably with the help of Howie and those guys. But the majority of those offensive guys, they were sort of put together collectively.
Right.
They were put together collectively. And some of these guys were the same way. Here's the thing that I'll tell you. What you got was really the same recipe and blueprint that they used. Maybe not the exact blueprint, but very similar to what they used to hire Doug and why they hired Doug and why they think it was successful. They're trying to replicate with Nick Sirianni. Like, when Nick Sirianni says, even with some of his coaches, he didn't know, they didn't know them, even having any previous working history with them, that he was basically interviewing them and finding out about them as he was interviewing them. He hadn't really heard of some of these guys before, so they came based off recommendations. Well, this staff has to work well together. He knows the guys that he has worked with. Jonathan Gannon, he's worked with in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Steichen, whatever his name is.
Steichen.
Yeah, he worked with him out there with the Chargers, right? So there are some coaches that he has worked with, but then there are others that are on the staff that he has not worked with, much like Doug Peterson. So this staff was really put together by Jeffrey and Howie and Don Smolinski. Like, that's who the staff was really put together by. Here's the difference. This is what helped Doug out. This is what helped the organization out. The front office had enough resources at that time that they had, in my opinion, better talent evaluators, better connections, whether it was Joe Douglas or Andrew Berry. Regardless, two guys that left afterwards to go get jobs other places to head their own staffs. Does Howie have the same quality a support staff around him that's going to allow him to put together a roster that's going to help Nick Sirianni out, that's going to help Jalen Hurts out? Because if you don't, you need a brilliant coach like an Andy Reid.
To make up for the lack
of
the
For the lack of talent evaluation that you have in front of you. When you got a good front office that can pick players and put a good staff out there, I mean, put a good team out there on the field for you, now you got something to work with. That's what Jonathan Gannon had in Indy. He had Chris Ballard. So he can find the Darius Leonard. They'll go trade for DeForest Buckner.
Mm-hmm.
You give Jonathan Gannon those type of players to work with and run a defense. Now, you got something to work with. He has to work with what he has here. And also what they give him to work with. How much input will they have on players?
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't know what we don't even know what the team is going to look like because it's not even built yet.
I would say this right now, they haven't, and they have their work to do.
Yeah.
They haven't done anything so far, John, that would excite the fan base. Honestly, they firing Doug, trading away Carson Wentz, hiring Nick Sirianni. Like, none of these things have excited the fan base yet.
No.
What they do at six, most fans think we're going with Jalen Hurts as the guy. Okay.
Yeah, he's the starting quarterback right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what they do at six, will that excite the fan base? We don't expect a whole lot to be done in free agency, so they can't even rely on that to excite the fan base.
No, it feels like right now there's a hangover with the team, and it's just a matter of get us the free agency and get us to the draft to give us something that we can feel good about.
We need to see
with
it.
With the team.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. We're going to mix in some Phillies because every day at 245-ish leading up to opening day, Jack gives us a burning Phillies question. What does he have in store for us today? That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94WIP.
Hey, if you're from around here, you know the truth about treats. If it's not a tasty cake, it's a miss cake. That's right, you didn't mishear me. It's a miss cake because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crumpet or a rich and creamy peanut butter candy cake. Need a midday pick-me-up? Reach for the treat you know and love, Tasty Cake. Looking for a post-lunch treat? Treat yourself to one of my personal favorites, the chocolate candy cake. So don't make a big mistake. Great, great. Grab a Tasty Cake and accept no substitutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!